Earth, sky.
Most important thing to know about the chemistry of DNA and the chemistry of molecular systems is it's varied. And we can think about DNA as a library. We can think about DNA as a wire. There is this molecular world, and we can use our intuition, the way we think about problems in the world, to think on the molecular level. And when you do that, there are enormous opportunities to make a difference and to come up with something new.
You're listening to Jacqueline Barton, a professor of chemistry at the California Institute of Technology, talking about the world of the very small, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Barton works with the chemistry of DNA, which she called the library of the cell. She says it's much richer than anyone imagined. Dr. Barton received a National Medal of Science in 2011 for her discovery that a cell uses the double strands of the DNA helix, like a wire, for long-range signaling within the cell. Her research holds promise for understanding how cells detect and repair DNA defects related both to ordinary conditions like aging and to diseases like Alzheimer's and cancer. Jacqueline Barton spoke to Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Barton, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
It's nice to be here.
I'd like to have you tell us about some research that you've been recently recognized for by President Obama. You received a National Medal of Science. And this is a research that discovered that DNA acts like a wire in a cell. Tell us what's happening here and what is that wire doing?
So we think about DNA usually as the library of the cell. It encodes all the information that makes us what we are. But it also turns out that when you look at the chemical structure, the molecular structure of DNA, that DNA, that spiral staircase that we think about in terms of the double helix, the steps of the spiral staircase are really actually stacked one on top of another. And it turns out that the DNA polymer, that double helix, looks a lot like solid-state materials that are quite conductive. And so very soon after Watson and Crick first proposed the structure of DNA, chemists started asking, well, gee, does this structure have the same characteristic of being conductive? That was a while ago. That was a long time ago, over 50 years ago. And about 20, 30 years ago, it reached the point that now chemists could actually synthesize a little piece of DNA and know exactly what's connected to what, and essentially attach little, what we did was we attached little molecular probes on either sides of the DNA double helix to ask whether or not you can shoot an electron from one side of the DNA to the other side of the DNA. And that's sort of how it all started.
What's new about this research?
So first, we just thought about it in terms of this chemical characteristic, okay? And what we found out that actually electrons and holes could move through DNA. So we usually think about DNA, as I said, as the information, the library, because DNA encodes the RNA. RNA is sort of like taking a Xerox copy of what's in the library. And then from the RNA, then you go through the ribosome machine, and you make proteins. And the proteins that are made are encoded by the sequence of base pairs in DNA. So the nucleus of all of our cells are filled with 3 billion base pairs of information in the DNA. Well, what we've been finding is that actually the information has to get coordinated across the library because a lot of proteins have to get made, a lot of things have to happen. And maybe that signaling across the nucleus of the cell, across the DNA-containing genome, some of that may be actually happening by using DNA as a wire. And in particular, what we've focused on so far is, turns out that your library of the cell is a very important library, but it's getting damaged all the time, especially if you don't eat your broccoli. And when the DNA gets damaged, that damage has to get fixed or else that information in the library can't be used anymore. And it turns out that in each of our cells, we have this exquisite repair machinery, little proteins that are constantly sifting through your DNA to find mistakes and fix them. Now, what we found out is that DNA can be a good wire, But it's only a good wire if all the bases are stacked on top of each other, the steps on the spiral staircase, and if the DNA isn't damaged, if those bases aren't damaged. If there is a little mistake in the DNA, then it's not a good wire anymore. Sort of the way to think about it, it's like a stack of copper pennies, and that stack of copper pennies can be conductive. But if one of the pennies are a little bit awry, if it's not stacked so well, then you're not going to be able to get good conductivity. And it's similar in the case of the DNA double helix. So now let's go back to thinking about our DNA getting damaged all the time and how those repair proteins have to find those mistakes in the 3 billion bases of DNA. Well, we sort of think that what happens is that nature uses DNA like a wire, and it's sort of like two telephone repairmen trying to find a mistake in the line. If they can talk to each other, if these repair proteins can talk to each other across the DNA, then the DNA is just fine. So they don't have to repair that region, and they can go someplace else. If there's a mistake in the DNA, then they can't talk to each other so well, and so then that allows them to hone in on where the mistake is. So from starting out over 20 years ago now and synthesizing little pieces of DNA and seeing if we can shoot an electron up or down it, we've sort of come now to the point of saying nature uses this for long-range signaling and for finding mistakes in DNA.
I mean, I think that's just amazing. I mean, we're talking about 3 billion base pairs, these rungs in the molecule of DNA. Just one little rung here or there can make a big difference.
It can make an enormous difference. That's how people, it turns out that when you have cancer, it's often associated with defects in your repair machinery. You know, some people have a genetic predisposition to colon cancer. It turns out that genetic predisposition is because they have a defect in their repair machinery, in the proteins that find those mistakes. And so it's incredibly important that we're always finding those mistakes in DNA and fixing them. And we're learning that the way to find those mistakes in the DNA is shooting electrons through the DNA helix.
You've been listening to Jacqueline Barton, professor of chemistry at Caltech. This podcast is part of the Thanks to Chemistry series, produced in cooperation with the Chemical Heritage Foundation. Generous sponsorship support was provided by the BASF Corporation. Additional production support was provided by the Camille and Henry Dreyfus Foundation, DuPont, and ExxonMobil. For this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.